Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Identify their first team as Notre Dame around here, who didn't go to Pitt, who don't have any real connection to Pitt, but who just love Notre Dame. I don't think that is a... You're making a face like, come on, Halsey. How could you ever suggest that? I think it's not so much that there aren't a lot of Pitt fans. I think there are a ton of Notre Dame fans.
I would say Pitt fans outnumber Notre Dame fans 5-1.
5-1.
Yes.
Donnie, does that sound right to you? That seems steep.
I know. I still drive around town. I see more people in Pitt gear and with Pitt flags.
Yes, I think there are, I think there are more Pitt fans than there are Notre Dame fans, but I don't think it is like a 5-1. Kind of ratio.
I think the better discussion is West Virginia, and I would still say West Virginia is ahead of Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's 4.
Is it just that all the Notre Dame fans that exist come out of the woodwork when they're good?
I think they're pretty... that's why I told you they're pretty obnoxious about it, because it's like a religion to them. They watch Rudy.
Oh, it is kind of religiously based.
You know, the Gipper and whatnot, whatever he did.
Who was the Gipper?
Some guy that got sick and died.
Okay. That narrows it down.
And then Rockne was like, let's go out there and win one for him.
Donnie, did you know that Newt Rockne essentially invented the forward pass?
I actually did know that, yeah.
If you go up to Cedar Point, like in Sandusky, there is a plaque on the beach there where he and a guy named Charlie Doré perfected the forward pass, just throwing the old ball around on the beach. They basically were playing catch and they said, why can't we do this in a game? I'm not kidding you. That's how it came about.
That actually makes me chuckle thinking I saw yesterday about Jalen Milroe.
When you read the story.
What happened there?
It was that like meme from Moneyball where Jonah Hill is explaining to Brad Pitt.
His only problem is this is Jalen Milroe. Yeah. He's big, he's strong, he's fast.
His only problem is that in 1904, football invented the forward pass.
No, the story is wild if you ever read it. They went and played Army because those were obviously the two big-time teams even back then.
So they had to change the rules to give themselves a better chance of beating Army? Typical.
They said that like Army, when they threw the first pass in that game that they attempted and it was successful, Army called a timeout because they were so shocked they didn't know what to do. Yeah, they called like a timeout because they were completely shook. Just imagine that. You run a play that has the other team's entire sideline questioning what's even happening.
Sports have always had some weird rules. That's why when people talk about this magic at-bat in baseball, they're like, that's an affront to the sport. Did you know in college basketball, they used to have a two-minute rule where instead of getting two free throws when you got fouled, in some leagues, in some conferences, you'd shoot the first free throw if you made it. Then there would be a jump ball afterwards.
I did not know that. When did that get abolished?
Like in the 50s? Some other conferences had a rule where you just shot the first free throw, and if you made it, you got the ball back out of bounds.
That's an interesting wrinkle. What sport looks funnier when you're watching old black and white footage of it being played, like 1930s football or like 1950s basketball?
Well, no one and most of the guys in the 40s and 50s weren't shooting jump shots. They were just shooting those set shots.
But like when they're dribbling around, like no one even knew what the crossover was. By the way, did you see this proposal? People are thinking about like they should, the NBA is so messed up, they should just make three-pointers only exist in the fourth quarter of games because they're saying like it's ruining the league basically. It's become too optimized, just like baseball.
Well, yeah, it's all threes and layups. No in between.
I actually would be fine with that. Anyway.
All right, so Notre Dame's got the ball back. We'll let you know what happens. They're trailing Georgia 3-0.
An insurmountable 3-0 lead for Georgia, it seems.
Notre Dame had 10 rushing yards in the first quarter. If that keeps up, they're going to lose this game, and it's not going to be particularly close. So Saturday is probably going to be the Steelers' final home game unless they go on a run and some other team like the Broncos or Chargers goes on a run and forces some bizarro world AFC championship game where the Steelers are entertaining Denver or something like that, which has almost no chance of happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I will look at it like it's really their final home game. I wrote down the names of 2, 4, 6, 8 Steelers. And I'm going to ask you guys if you think Saturday night will be the last time these guys play for the Steelers at Acrisure Stadium. First one, Justin Fields.
I'm gonna go against my own like gut intuition and actually say no, it will not be the last time he plays at Acrisure Stadium as a member of the Steelers.
Okay, now you're gonna need to explain that to me. Why do you feel that way?
I have a weird sense that there will not be a market for him such that like if and when the Steelers approach him and say, hey, we really liked what you did this year. We didn't ever intend this for this to be a year that you were supposed to be our starting quarterback. We wanted to give you a year to breathe, but you stepped in and went 4-2, etc. I think that that coupled with the fact that the rest of the NFL, I don't feel like necessarily thinks he's big time starter material because of look at the lack of a market for him when they actually were trying to move him, is going to result in them coming to some sort of deal with him that both sides can agree with, and he comes back.
Donnie?
I'm going to agree with Chris. I'm going to say no. I think he'll be back here.
Wow.
The power of my rhetoric, apparently.
I was already kind of feeling that way just because I'm feeling down about the last few weeks, and I think if it crashes and burns here to the finish, they'd bring him back.
I think he's going to be somebody's Trubisky, just like Trubisky was supposed to be for Pickett. I think one of these teams that takes a quarterback, a young quarterback, he's going to be the bridge guy that might start ahead of them. So maybe that's not the case for Sanders or Ward, but Milroe or one of those guys, I could see him being the quarterback that begins the season as the starter.
Speaking of quarterbacks, what do you know? Georgia gets away with a blatant face mask on a big run by Notre Dame, and there should have been 15 more tacked on. But
that was Riley Leonard with a 32-yard run. SEC, I told you this quarterback.
This SEC conspiracy, Donnie.
They're inside the Georgia 30. I'm telling you, even though he looks like a doughy, kind of pudgy white guy, he can scoot this
Leonard. I know he can move. You're acting like Donnie and I did not know ball.
Well, I'm not just
the old Shaq meme. Oh, I'm sorry, Riley Leonard. I was unfamiliar with your game.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you guys knew this. I'm not just talking to you. When we do the show,
but
talking to you, then we wouldn't be on the air anymore.
Isn't the whole point of the show that we're supposed to be like we're talking to each other, but it's all such right. a great conversation that it feels
Donnie
broad.
Russell Wilson, is he playing his last home game Saturday night?
Given what I just said, I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no.
I have to say yes then too. So the two of us are on the opposite side of this as you.
I think they're going to beat Cincy and they're going to beat Houston, and that's going to be enough for the Steelers to give them $35 million a year.
The beat Houston thing I could get on board with. You are like shockingly confident. I know the spread is basically nil, but you are incredibly confident that this team that has looked so bad is going to basically flip a switch and turn it right back around.
Yes, I do. Exactly. Precisely that. I think they're going to look outstanding. I think it's going to be maybe their best game of the year.
I've seen you be right about this stuff enough to not want to like put myself out there too much here, but I would be pretty gobsmacked by that.
Notre Dame had to settle for a field goal, and it's good. So 3-3 there at the Sugar Bowl with 8 minutes to go. That was a longer drive by them, their first real drive of the game.
4 minutes ago, I said an insurmountable lead. Whoops.
Najee Harris, I believe even though he's done 1,000 yards again for the fourth straight season, I think he will play for the Denver Broncos next year. So I don't think he'll be back. You?
He'll be gone, and he will be the change of pace back for the Dallas Cowboys.
Donnie?
Are we also supposed to pick where he'll go?
You can if you
want. Do whatever you want here.
I was just going to say it will be his final home game. They give him a nice hearty handshake at season's end. Say thank you for your service.
A gold watch, perhaps?
Maybe.
The computer's taking your job.
We're taking Cam Scadaboo to replace you.
Yeah, all of a sudden Omar Khan starts to speak like he's Dusty Rhodes.
George Pickens, will this be his final home game on Saturday night, Malzi?
No. At the end of the day, I don't think it will be.
Donnie?
No.
You're that was a very quick answer. You're that confident?
Yeah, I don't think it will be, because they until they actually show that they have somebody to replace him with.
Also,
I don't think they're gonna do it.
To the extent that the head coach matters, he's the one guy who keeps running interference.
That's my
for
take:
him.
Is that Tomlin still at the end of the day is the guy that holds all the cards and has all the power.
Yeah, and there's not that other guy that there has been in years past where they said, "Well, this guy's causing us headaches. We can afford to get rid of him." They can't.
How about this one possible final home game Saturday night, Donnie? Larry Ogunjobi, $10 million cap hit in 2025.
I'm going to say yes, it is. Because what would the, like, how would it work with, like, the,
I think like they, that cap I think they save versus 5 or 6 if they cut him.
I'm going to say yeah, then it is his final home game.
I think so, too. He just off and on with injuries.
It's not the kind of player.
I think they'll cut their losses.
It's not the kind of player they can afford to keep around, even if he's, you know, good when healthy at that price. They clearly have to invest it in a great wide receiver that they're going to bring in to help.
This guy's
George
Pickens. A free agent, but I'm going to guess all of us say he's back, even though they have two starters at the position with Peyton Wilson, and that would be a Landon Roberts. He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Man, he feels like a guy that they should find a way to keep, just because
I'm saying this will not be his final home game.
Yeah, I would say it won't be, because I think he fits what they want to do. Like, I still think he's very useful to them at a pretty modest price.
Donnie?
I'm also biased here. I want to see the guy back.
Do you get the sense in talking to him that he is going to be back next year?
He definitely wants to be. I mean, he said,
does he say it in like a sadder tone? Like, man, this is where I want to be, but I just don't know.
Or does he say, no, I want to be here?
No, like he wants to finish the career here. I mean, he's going to be 31 by next season.
I think he'll be back then.
I just
They'll find a way to make it happen.
Look at the way they haven't tackled at times. Like, they need guys like him who are willing to tackle.
Dante Jackson, Mulsey, he's a free agent at the end of the year. Do you think this will be his final Steelers home game?
I do. Man, if you're them, he's got a pinched nerve or whatever it is that in his back that can flare at any
questionable
time
on Saturday.
Do you really, as the Steelers, knowing the nature of that injury, do you really want to continue to say, hey, we'd like to keep you employed here?
Donald?
I'm going to say it is the final home game.
You too.
Yeah, and isn't he also going to be getting pretty close to the old cliff age of 30 at corner?
He is over 29.
Yeah. 29 with a bulky back? Yeah, sure. We love keeping those guys around at corner.
All right, Donnie, one more. Minka.
I'm going to say it will not be his final home game. He'll be back.
I think he will, too. I think it's a situation where the Steelers should ask him to take less money, but I don't even think they have the balls to do that. So I think he's back, and he's back on his current contract.
If they asked to be, I think he's back. Under those same circumstances, Pony, if they asked him to take less money, you know what he could say right back to them? You're the ones asking me to play this way. Why would I take less money? I'm capable of more. You're telling me you want me to do less, fully aware that I am capable of more.
But I don't even think at like the kind of bare minimum job that they've given him, he's been good at this year.
Well, what
or
if
he's been good at? He hasn't been great at.
What then I could say back is maybe that's the wrong way to use Minka Fitzpatrick on a bare minimum last line of defense job. If I asked you,
but if they keep playing him this way, he's not worth paying him that
much
money.
If I asked you to run the control board, something Donnie has trained on and knows how to do back and front.
Oh my God.
You could probably figure out how to do it in a day because you're a smart guy, but you wouldn't do a good job of it.
That reminds me of a story. Actually, you guys already know about the story. Never mind.
I don't even remember which one's being referenced.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Friends tier.
Moving it a little bit against Notre Dame. It's 3-3, a little more than halfway through the second quarter. Georgia had a turnover in the Notre Dame red zone, so they've, outside of that first drive, done pretty well with backup quarterback Gunnar Stockton in the game. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers Insider, joins us. Ray, you went to Holy Cross. Does that make you a Notre Dame football fan?
No, not at all. But I do want to know, how would you guys feel right now if it goes into the halftime tied 3-3, if you're number 39 for Georgia, and you were responsible for that penalty, what would be going through your mind?
I would be peeing my pants a little bit, but I was shocked that when they showed him on the sideline around a bunch of other players, some who were dressed for the game, some not, nobody seemed to be ready to like rip his head
off. Ray, we didn't really see what happened. Can you tell our listeners exactly what he did that got them a sideline interference call?
Yeah, the get back coach didn't do his job, so I guess we can blame the get back coach first. But he was in the white area. The referee was sprinting down the sidelines to follow the play, and he just ran into 39. So
like Tomlin and Jacoby Jones almost.
Yeah, a little bit. But if I was 39, guys, I'd be my butt would be planted on the bench for the rest of the game.
Well, yeah, and for people that don't know, 39 looks like a total scrub. He's
not. He just looks like a guy.
He's not dressed for the game. He just has a jersey on. Looks like a fan.
He looks like the rich kid white walk-on from Athens, you know?
Yep. Georgia did stall, so they just punted the ball back to Notre Dame. Speaking of Georgia, that's where George Pickens played his college ball, Ray. We've been playing that comment or back and forth or lack of comment today. When Alan Saunders brought up the Russell Wilson, we're not on the same page on that interception. He got all defensive about it and then stormed off and the interview ended. I said to Chris, I'm basically at a point with George where if I could trade him for a top 40 pick this offseason, I think I'd do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great conversation to have, probably after the season ends. But, I mean, I think, Pony, in the end, I think you're right. I think they do have to make a decision there. And you know, Mark Cabali brought this up, I don't know, mid-season or so. I really didn't agree with Mark at the time because this was in the midst of like when George was behaving and, you know, he was in his good stretch. But Mark made the point that you can't bring George back if he's not under contract. And I kind of poo-pooed it. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that. But tell you what, I mean, that's turning out to be like it seems like it's going to be an issue. Like if you don't sign him, you better trade him. So that's something to worry about February, March, but I'm starting to lean your way, Pony. I think that's it's going to be a tough decision for Omar and company, but sometimes those headaches are nicer if another team is having to deal with them.
If Omar's trying to make that decision, how loud in his ear do you think Mike Tomlin's going to be saying, keep him, because he's the only person that seems to have absolved Pickens of blame on that interception, which I think is pretty noteworthy.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that he's coddled one of his star receivers. I mean, we saw it happen for years with Antonio Brown. Thought it was interesting how Arthur handled it yesterday, to be honest with you.
Yep.
He did not toe the company line there. And I give Art credit. You know, he's got a reputation to uphold. I give him credit for saying what he said, even though he didn't go into a lot of detail, he got the point across that that play didn't look exactly how it was supposed to look there. So, I wrote this in the Post-Gazette on Sunday. Somehow, some way, guys, no matter what you do in the offseason, you have to get this guy engaged for Saturday night and for the playoff run, because if you don't, it's going to be a short stay in the playoffs. And if somehow you do, if you guys can remember that, you know, 4-6 game stretch in the middle of the season where he was really good. If they can get back to that, if they can get that George, they might have a puncher's chance in a playoff game or two.
I mean, if they're talking about, though, getting him, you say getting him engaged, your choice of words there, if that's still a question 3 years in, where he is still their leading receiver, he's still getting the ball, like that sort of answers the what do you do with him this offseason for me.
Yeah, but I think the way that front office personnel people might look at it as well, and I have no idea which way Omar would lean, but I think those guys realize that talents like George don't come along very often, and if you do make that move, you're probably going to have to draft two receivers and probably two in their first four rounds like you did back in 2022 when you had George and Calvin Austin. So, you know, I could see that happening. I think this is going to be a pretty decent draft for receivers. I mean, it seems like almost every year is a good draft for receivers. So, you know, they've gone down this road before. They did it with AB. They did it with Martavis. It wouldn't be a total shocker, but George is a special talent, and they have no one, and I mean no one, like him on the roster.
Hey, Ray, about him, one more thing. Have you heard from anybody, like, you know, not off the record, but like behind the scenes, about him going up to Mahomes and Kelce and like what anyone, you know, teammates or otherwise, thought of that whole situation?
You know, I did not. I know that was a big thing on social media. I did haven't made it a point to ask anyone about that behind the scenes. I tend to take that a little bit differently than maybe some people. I think that's part of the natural post-game banter. It just happened to be in front of cameras. If it happened at the 50-yard line and there were no cameras on him, I don't think anyone would, you know, say anything about it.
Notre Dame punted after they moved the ball to midfield, so Georgia's got it back here with about 4 minutes to go in the first half, 3-3 at the Sugar Bowl. Winner gets Penn State. Ray, how about, speaking of receivers, so Roman Wilson's healthy, but he's still on IR. He's fully practicing. Yep. It sounds like, though, they're just going to keep him on ice for the rest of the year. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, so what you have to understand about the IR thing, they also brought back Cole Holcomb and Logan Lee. Both those guys were basically on IR or PUP for the entire season. You might as well do it now and see if you can get 2 or 3 weeks of practice in. And then let's say you win 2 playoff games, then you got to make a decision. You know, do you bring him back for a championship game or do you leave him on IR?
They wouldn't activate him unless somebody got hurt because he's obviously way down in their doghouse, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right about that. But I just think it's a way to get those guys practicing again and, you know, sort of a, you know, break glass in case of emergency type of thing with all of those guys. You know, every rookie, I don't care what draft pick it could be, everyone wants the rookies to succeed. It hasn't happened with Roman, and like you said, Pony, it's not going to happen unless they have an injury.
Ray, like, what even happens with him next year? Because he's a slot receiver. Calvin Austin appears to be a pretty good slot receiver suddenly when he has a quarterback who's occasionally able to get him the ball down the field. What's Roman Wilson's role even going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think Roman played on the outside a little bit at Michigan, too. I know people have him pegged for maybe being a slot guy in the NFL, but I think that that decision hasn't been made yet. And I think it just gives him an extra, you know, an extra season and, you know, more incentive to go out there and prove that people wrong. There are a lot of receivers who are making impacts this year. He's not one of them, and I'm sure he'll be motivated going into next season. And this isn't the first time it's going to happen to a rookie. A lot of guys get redshirted because of early injuries, and, you know, it's just been that kind of a tough luck season for Roman so far.
Georgia went 3 and out, 3 incomplete passes, so Notre Dame's getting the ball back around its 35-yard line with 3 minutes to go in the first half of the Sugar Bowl. Ray, if the defensive issues don't get cleaned up and they lose the next 2 games, what is the fallout from that when you spend $130 million on defensive players?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would imagine someone would lose their job. I don't really recall which assistant coaches signed new deals. I think Austin signed a new deal after last season, guys, so that's probably not going to happen.
Well, losing a job would be a punishment that it shouldn't matter if you've signed a new deal or not. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as you say Ray, I'm like, If it's just a guy who's on the end of a contract, that doesn't really strike me as a punishment so much as that's how they like doing business.
But yeah, exactly. That's the way they do business. I'm just telling you guys, I don't think that's going to change. I do think if you guys saw the Minka interview today, you know, Minka has not talked after these past three games. So we finally got him today. And there was some new stuff that came out. I don't know if you guys noticed, but two things struck me. Number one, he identified exactly how the Steelers are getting stumped here. He mentioned it's motions, it's bunch formations, and they're just not adjusting. And, you know, he says they got to get it rectified. You know, the Eagles were the first team to do it, and every other team has followed in suit. And the second thing was, and this is really the first time I've heard this, and he didn't name anyone by name, but you could sort of read into it that the communication from Patrick Queen and or Deshaun Elliott, it's either not coming fast enough or it's not being communicated in the way Minka is used to having it communicated. So he was talking about new guys coming in, and you know, he said it, you know, I know it's week 18, guys, but it's still happening. And it's a little bit of a surprise that it is happening, but I thought Minka finally shed some light on what was going on. We were sort of getting Deshaun in Patrick Queen's point of view for the last couple of weeks, and finally we got Minka, and it seems like, I'm not absolving Minka of the blame, but it seems like the actual communication has been an issue here.
Ray, I'm going to give you a list of guys. You tell me if you think Saturday is their final home game as a Steeler. Justin Fields.
Yes.
Russell Wilson.
No.
Najee Harris.
Yes.
George Pickens.
Oh, that's a good one. yeah, I'll say yes. Let's make it an interesting offseason.
Larry Ogunjobi.
I'll go no, guys. They don't have anyone behind him.
That's a problem right there. This $10 million cap hit.
Do you think
year.
They might internally see not in your hypothetical because they would have traded Pickens, but do they see interior defensive line as almost as big of a need as wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, I've been beating that drum for a few years now. I mean, where would this team be if Cam Hayward didn't have the season he's having? So yeah, I mean, I don't know how long you can expect him to play at that level, but I'm with you. Interior defensive line has to be a priority. Corner has to be a priority, and as you mentioned, you know, receiver, especially if you know they do something with Pickens, receiver probably twice in the top 4 or 5 rounds if that happens.
How about a Landon Roberts?
Yeah, I love a Landon. I bring him back like on a 1 year, $2 million deal. I'd do that every day of the week.
Dante Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, probably on a short term deal, 1 year deal, draft a corner though.
So you think he is back, Jackson? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't – they're not deep at corner. And it's hard for me to go into an offseason, guys, counting on a guy like Corey Trice when he's had so many injuries. I would say no if Trice was a guy who wasn't injured, but he seems to be injured a lot, so I just can't count on him.
All right, last one. How about Minka?
Yeah, I mean, that's another good one. I think the coaches really like Minka. Maybe there's some issues here with communicating and stuff with his new teammates. But, yeah, I think Minka comes back. And if you are going to move on from that deal, eventually you do it in the last year of the deal where the cap hit is actually, you know, tolerable.
And then do you think the Steelers beat the Bengals on Saturday?
I do. I think they realize that the game in Houston is a game that they could certainly win. I don't think they want to jeopardize that by having to play in Baltimore again. So, yeah, I think they find a way to get it done.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers Insider, Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, guys.
Happy New Year, everybody. It is our first show of 2025. 5:30 Thursdays. It's called TRT, Total Request Thursday. You pick the topic. We give you 4 choices. You vote on it, and then we dive in. 4 options on the board today. Steelers, Bengals, Penn State in playoff, Aaron Rodgers to Steelers, and sauerkraut. Aaron Rodgers to Steelers, only 10% people are sick of that, even though Mike Florio floated it out there again.
And you photoshopped him in there in a Terry Bradshaw's number.
Yep.
And then I made a an obviously facetious tweet about him having 4 to 5 good years left and being a team-oriented player. And Pony, I'm worried about people in 2025. Shocking number of people took that tweet seriously from me.
It took people taking a tweet seriously for you to be worried about the fate of humanity in 2025?
No, but you know what I mean. We're off to a bad start already.
Second option that went down the tube, Penn State in the playoff, 20.9%. Right now, Notre Dame has the ball in Georgia territory with about a minute to go in the second quarter, but Riley Leonard just got sacked out of field goal range. They've got a great kicker at Notre Dame. So we'll see what happens here. Facing second and 21, they do have 2 timeouts, so time for Notre Dame to get in field goal range and go up here before the break.
I think I know why that's so low. I think there's a, we don't want those guys talking Penn State.
No, we got that text earlier. And then 33.7%, a strong showing from Sauerkraut. There was a third of our audience that wanted the day after New Year's
some sauerkraut,
a robust
talk.
Sauerkraut discussion. Donnie voted for sauerkraut.
I did too. But I only voted for it so I could slag it and talk about how much it sucks.
35% said more Steelers Bengals talk.
When is the last time we have done TRT and had anything other than the A1 Steelers story lead the way?
Didn't Hawk Tua upset a Steelers one a couple months ago?
Yes, okay, a couple months ago. How long ago did the Hawk Tua girl thing happen?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually like before the football season even started.
I mean, we're talking about like a, I would have said an Eagles-level winning streak. Who's got the longest winning streak currently in the NFL right now? When did Minnesota last
week? I was just going to say them.
This has been a long time, my friend. Long time. Minnesota hasn't lost since before the election.
Speaking of elections, RIP Jimmy Carter.
100 years old, man. He almost spent 3 full years in hospice care. Man. Which I always thought hospice meant like you had a week to live. Apparently that is not necessarily.
You know what they say about centurions or centurions?
Centenarians.
Centenarians, thank you.
Yeah. Centurions. Those are like the guards in the Roman Empire, my friend.
They got a disproportionate amount of vitamin A. If you're loaded up on vitamin A, good chance you're going to live a long, healthy life unless something catastrophic or accidental happens.
What foods have a lot of vitamin A? Carrots, I think. That's the one that gives you good vision, too, I want to say.
Let's see here.
A lot of beta carotene.
Actually, I'm not going to look that up because we're going against the spirit of TRT, which is Steelers Bengals.
Can I say this about Jimmy Carter? Are you aware that he averted like a major nuclear disaster 70-plus years ago? He was one of the, when he came out of the Navy, he was one of the only people on Earth certified to go into a possibly melting down nuclear reactor, which he did. Mm. Absorbing what he called thousands of times more radiation than anyone would be allowed to today to make sure that this thing basically did not go
Maybe it gave him like a superpower to live longer.
No, radiation. I think usually radiation doesn't work like in Spider-Man. I think the vitamin A might have won out here.
By the way, Jimmy Carter, the first president to have a professional sports team come to the White House after winning a championship. And that was the Steelers.
A peanut farmer from Georgia.
Yeah. Anyways.
Brother, the beer guy, wasn't he?
Billy Carter, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was like Billy or Buddy or something.
Well, no, his brother was the first in a long line of like fail brothers, like Bill Clinton's brother. Didn't he get into all sorts of trouble for being kind of a doofus? Jimmy Carter's brother, I think, was viewed much the same.
I think it's honestly for George Pickens. I think this is a critical time for him with the fans. I mean, I think you have made the point several times today that Mike Tomlin appears to always have the guys back and goes to bat for him.
I can say that because there's one notable exception when he said George needs to grow up, and that is it.
And that was in the heat right after a game, and then by the time he got to his regular press conference,
back to normal.
Back to taking his side on things. By the way, Notre Dame just kicked a field goal here. They're up 6-3 with 38 seconds to go in the first half at the Sugar Bowl. Winner gets Penn State. So I think right now I would agree with you that Tomlin is clearly in the pro-George Pickens camp. But if this season ends in another disappointment and Pickens has immature outbursts or situations in games where he doesn't give it his all and either has mental errors or physical errors, whatever, I think it could absolutely change. I mean, he did early in the season do a soft benching and then tried to lie about it and said it was a load management issue when it wasn't. The guy went back to playing a ton of snaps right after that. It had nothing to do with trying to get him through a quote-unquote marathon of a season. It was punitive. It was to try to teach him a lesson quietly. And
didn't work.
Did not work. Well, it did work in this respect. After that, the guy did put up big numbers.
But then he didn't keep putting them up.
Got hurt, and then he has reverted back to some of his old ways. The last time we saw him in Pittsburgh against the Bengals was when everyone was calling for him to get benched after the Colts game last year. And then he caught that little pass from Mason Rudolph and took it all the way to the house.
He had like 190 yards receiving that day or something crazy.
And then the next week he made that crazy catch in Seattle on the great throw for Mason Rudolph.
Yep.
And, you know, it changed people's perception of him. So he's got a chance to do it here. And honestly, like, this is a great matchup for a starving offense. They need to get back to where they were when I and others looked at them as kind of a dark horse, quasi Super Bowl contender. Show that you can put up points. Go to Cincinnati and have a 500 yards of offense game. Have Russell Wilson turn back the clock and have literally one of the best games he's ever had in an NFL uniform. What just happened?
Got a strip sack and Notre Dame recovering with a chance to go up possibly by 10 points here at the end of the first
this
half.
This Samoan guy's having a monster game for Notre Dame. He just picked up this fumble. He had a big sack earlier in the game.
He might have actually forced it too. I was like watching in slow motion here.
There's just something about the big Samoan guy in football with the hair,
no,
like the
he
guy
did not
from
force it. He just fell.
He recovered it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's still a nice motor play there. Sticking with the play.
Man, this Stockton here, he's going to have to take stock of his performance. He's giving up a ton.
What are you doing in there? You're just going to make a silly face about it?
He loves it when I do this. He loves it when I do this dumb crap. He does.
And I do think George is motivated by this, too. And this can be a blessing and a curse in a game like this. He sees T. Higgins on the other sideline. He sees Ja'Marr Chase. He knows, especially where Chase is among the elite wide receivers.
I want to ball out.
He takes it very personally. Like, I want people to think when the game is over that I was the best receiver playing in the game. And the reason why I say that's also a curse is because if he doesn't get the ball and he isn't making plays, then I think that's when the pouting and the outbursts and things like that start to happen. So it sucks. I mean, here's the other thing that's a blessing and curse. If it forces Arthur Smith and their offense to try to dial up plays early in the game to get him involved. On one hand, that's a sign that a guy is so immature that you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Touchdown Notre Dame.
Bo Collins, 13-yard touchdown catch. It's 12-3 pending the extra point.
Well, that's a big late score for them. I'm feeling very good about this.
Kirby
Notre Dame
Smart, that visor might be getting thrown off here in a second.
So it forces them to dial up those plays, probably not for the best of reasons, but they should be dreaming up and devising plays to get their best player the ball.
Like, the game plan offensively should revolve around him every week. That should be, like, your goal. We want to make sure he gets 10 quality targets, force another team to stop him. That's like football 101. Who's your best player?
I think, and this is one of the things about the Steelers that I don't think we talk about the most. I believe that Pickens touchdown against Mason last year.
From Mason?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the last time they had an opening drive touchdown. I don't think they've had one since. I think it's literally been more than a year. Why do I keep saying literally? I sound like I'm a 14-year-old girl from the Valley.
From the Valley? What Valley? Fernando Valley?
Yeah, that. The Valley girl thing. Does that still exist?
I thought the San Fernando Valley was they did a lot of adult film.
No. How do you know that?
I think everybody kind of knows that.
Donnie, did you know that that's where they made adult film?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I guess not.
The capital.
I'm just smart.
I think that's the last time they've had an opening drive touchdown.
You say something like that, and you know what I do. I start trying to check it, but then I don't even know why I bother because
we know there are none this year. So the only other games are Seattle and Baltimore.
They scored, I think, in the first quarter against Seattle, but late scored a touchdown. How are they that bad at this? I mean, rhetorical question. They last year did not generally have good quarterback play and are not the most imaginative offense.
Tomlin tries to make this sound like it's not that important, like it's unimportant or not a big deal. They have been the worst first quarter team in the entire NFL this year. It used to be the Eagles. They've gotten much better at it in the last month, in part because they got off to a hot start against the Steelers.
I was just going
to
say, the get-right team.
The Steelers have given up defensively now. They've given up more points in the first quarter of any team in the NFL.
Mike,
how is
about,
that possible?
Mike talks about, like, he will say, "Oh, we got to get out of the gate quicker. We've got to start faster." And then they do nothing.
But then he's
different.
Also said things like, "You're not defined by how you start the game. We're not going to make too big of a deal about that."
You absolutely can be defined by how you start the game if it's against a really good team and you're down 14-0. You know why he, above all other coaches, should want them to start fast and get leads? He loves to play from ahead. They're not comfortable playing from behind, even with a guy like Wilson who can quick strike
you. They are 27th in football in points scored in the first quarter. So that means that there are only five teams worse than them. And they have given up the most points.
It's actually kind of miraculous that they're 10-6 right now.
I'm blown
given
away.
That stat.
Yes, I'm blown away that they are actually the worst at something. When you have that coach and you have those players at your disposal, how are you worse? How are you the worst team in the NFL at something when there's the Giants out there and the Panthers and the Jets and the Bengals defense and the Browns and
there's honestly no excuse for the Bears who haven't won in
3 months.
There's no excuse for it.
And you've given up more points in the first 15 minutes of games than any of those teams?
What would even be the excuse that somebody would try to put forth? Well, that's their script. That's their best stuff.
And look, so there are two things I think that we call into question with coaching. Like, okay, how do you start games? Then how do you adjust when you come out of halftime? And to be fair, they've done very well at that second part. They've been one of the best third quarter teams in football.
Except when they weren't against these last couple games. I'm trying to like suss out when they were giving up all the points. Didn't the Eagles only scored 3 on them, but it was 3-0. The Ravens, it was a wash.
And then
the Chiefs was a wash. I don't know. It feels like they haven't been as good in the second half because the Chiefs put 13 on them in the last quarter.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Snow and a low of 28 degrees. The Hodgepodge is next, and then the Jeff Capel Show. It's the PM team.